today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
In my opinion, not only are they a great hardcore band, they're a great covers band.
All right, it's day four of our 10-minute podcast series. We invited listeners to come on Zoom with us and pick the topic of their choice. I have the 10-minute timer right here. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I am setting the timer, and today's guest is Scott Isom. Welcome, Scott.
Well, good morning, Jim, Patrick, and wherever Shadow is. Good morning, Shadow the Wonder Dog. And today I'm going to talk about the Canadian hardcore band DOA, often referred to in Canada as the DKs of the North. And I'm going to specifically talk about their covers.
Yeah.
DOA spent a lot of time with some great covers. And I'm going to go first to their third album, War on 45. And when I was researching the great albums of the 80s, their third album was War on 45. It was actually an EP they released on one of their releases. They released it on Alternative Tentacles through the Jello Biafra label. And on that, they had two covers. And one of them is War, the Edwin Starr release, and they just blew that release up. It's incendiary. In my opinion, the best release ever of that song.
War! Good God, no! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing, surgeon. Now listen to this. Wow, it's the enemy of all mankind. It's not a war, war is causing unrest in the younger generation. Induction, destruction, who wants to die? War, regard your what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War, say it, say it, say it. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Now listen to this. That shattered many young men's dreams. Made him disabled, bitter and mean. Life's too short, precious to be fighting wars each day. War can dim life, you only take away the war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War. Regard y'all. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Now listen to this. War ain't nothing but a
They also had a release of Class War by the originally released by the punk band The Dills. And the War on 45 was released numerous times during the year, throughout the years, and each time they would tack on more songs, and a lot of them were covers, including, let's see, I just wrote them down, I couldn't remember them all, there's no way. Masters of War, the Dylan, Eve of Destruction, a Turtle song. Of course, I can't read my writing, that's just something I do well. Another great cover they did was Taking Care of Business.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Thank you. Another Canadian band.
Hey, is there a fly in here?
I don't smell nothing.
Again, they just they rocked the hell out of it, and they got together with Joe Biafra. We got to get out of this place on Last Scream of the Missing Neighbors. On this song, instead of Joey Keighley singing lead, it's Joe Biafra singing lead, and that's an old animal song. And like I said, throughout the years, they just, in my opinion, not only are they a great hardcore band, they're a great covers band. One of their most original covers is they do a great version of Singing in the Rain, sped up, hardcore. They give it the DOA touch. It's on Let's Wreck the Party. Throughout the years, interspersed on every album, or not every album, but many albums, they'll just throw in some covers. They started in 1978, and they are still releasing albums. And ironically, they put out Keighley, however you pronounce his name. Maybe Patrick knows, maybe you know Jim. I've never heard his name. I've read it. They put out a call, and they're releasing an album of their covers, of covers of their songs in September by punk artists. And they've been releasing singles throughout the years, bashing Trump, bashing various, of course, Republican presidents. They're still releasing music. And I'll take a break so somebody else can speak.
No, that's okay. You still have the floor. If you want to keep going, it's up to you.
And I know you turn the timer off because what I'm saying is so damn interesting.
We did. Well, I guess, you know, let's turn it over to Patrick here. What are your thoughts on DOA?
Well, I think that's a really interesting topic. It's a great record. I know that, as Scott said, it's been released a whole bunch of different times. Because I think the original album had on the cover, I can't think of the cover off the top of my head, but it's got some people, like a whole bunch of people marching or like rampaging somewhere. And they got a sign that says March into the 80s. And I know when they did the reissues, they had to change. Because it wasn't the 80s anymore. They had to change the lettering to say, like, March to the End or something. But I don't know if a lot of people know that, DOA was putting out albums in, 81, something like that. So they were right there at the first wave of what would be called hardcore, even though they weren't American and it often was associated with the West Coast. I mean, they are from Vancouver, so it's the West Coast of North America, but... they were right there with Black Flag and the Dead Kennedys and a lot of those early bands that were making those first forays into what would become hardcore as early as anybody. So they definitely deserve credit for being there, and especially the founder and guitar player that Scott mentioned, whose name is unfit for a family podcast, but he's been in the band the whole time, Joey, and has been the leading light of that group. And I know they've reformed several times, as Scott said, but yeah, they're like some of the original stuff right there when you go all the way back to the beginning of, after sort of English hardcore or English punk rock, they'll mutated or evolved into American hardcore.
And what I find fascinating is one thing they're not known for is they are known for to people who know punk and hardcore is they are extremely political. That's why mm-hmm. they latched onto the Dead Kennedys and some of the West hardcore bands because of their fondness for, or not fondness, is how political they were. And yeah. many of their songs, they have a song called The 51st State and Empty Skies and bashing Canada, bashing the United States. Another song is called Bullet Catcher about a woman who wanted to be a police officer. And yeah, if it's political, if it's against the state, they'd write a song about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. I became a fan real early. When I was in Hawaii, stationed in the Army there, they had a great Tower Records in Honolulu. And I don't know why, but they had a bunch of imports and punk albums right in on the right when you walked in. And that's where I first saw the Dead Kennedys. And then when I moved to Fort Bragg, one of my best friends there was a punk fan. And he introduced me to DOA. And, okay, that was it. I was a huge fan from day one. And I didn't hear a thing.
Anybody else here in the group want to address DOA?
I do think they're devil worshippers.
That's a band that I don't know that much about, but I've heard about from other bands, especially the whole
thing. They get name checked in an X song.
Yeah,
they get name checked by X where they get name checked.
That's right.
I can't remember the X song off the top of my head, but. I think
they might be name checked in the X song. I think it's I Will Not Think Bad Thought.
Ah, I think so.
I'm yeah. pretty sure that's one of the bands that gets checked in that song.
I hear the radio, it's finally gonna play new music, you know, the British invasion.
But what about the Minutemen? Flesh Eaters, DOA, Big Boys and the Black Flag were the last American band to get played on the radio. Please bring the flag.
So, yeah, I was on the periphery, listening to Minutemen and X a lot and heard of them. But Scott, thanks again. I'm taking notes here. I'm going to be listening to a lot of new music, a lot of new old music.
I would start with War on 45 and probably True North.
I'll just go back to one of the themes you talked about earlier, Scott. I think are absolutely right that there's a certain thrill to a good cover by a punk band.
Yes.
Okay, bag of questions time.
Bag of questions. All right, let's see what we got, Scott. It's a very beautiful silky bag we have.
It is. It's velvet.
All right, Scott. Which television sitcom character are you most like?
Well, first I'll respond for my wife. She would say Chandler because I always use smart-ass responses to cover up for my insecurities.
Chandler from Friends?
Yes. Okay. Now, in my response, I would have to say somebody that I view as... confident, debonair, very good looking. Let's see. Who is that character? I can't think of anybody that fits that as well as I do. Now you got me.
Are you Sam Malone?
There you go. There you go.
Oh, I'm much smarter than he is.
Okay, well, that's true. That is true. All right. Thanks very much, Scott Isom. This was great.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay, thank you very much. And hello again, Shadow.
Yeah, Shadow's upstairs right now. I do this recording mostly down here in the basement, and for whatever reason, Shadow's not much of a basement dweller. He'll come down and visit me, but then go back upstairs. He Mm-hmm. Patrick and I have talked about this before. I think it has something to do with he can't really guard the house from down here in the basement.
Right.
He's got to be upstairs where he can feel like he's, you know, got a sense of what's going on.
Yeah. And you were questioning giving him a Christmas gift. He's guarding the house right now. Come on now.
He is, absolutely. Oh, no, I give him Christmas gifts. I was saying, you know, he may not get a visit from Santa given, you know, past behavior. But that's okay. That's okay.
Santa recognizes guard dogs. Come on now.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right, where are we going now? Oh, yes, we'll be back again. Our next episode will be more of the 10-Minute Podcast. And thanks again to Scott Isom. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
All right, we'll talk to y'all later.
Especially the founder and guitar player that Scott mentioned, whose name is unfit for a family podcast.
Joey Shithead from the legendary punk band DOA.